Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Live the Hustle. I'm your host, Bobby Wiley, and I want to know, are you truly happy? Do you aspire to be a better person? Do you want to change your life? What about the lives of others around you? Are you ready to create the change that you want? I created this podcast to help motivate and inspire you to make that lasting change in your life. Because nobody's going to do it for you. It is my hope to help you to get up, get dressed, and get hustling. Welcome to episode number 6. Today's guest is Daniel Blum, also known as the Bus Owner. And he is an entrepreneur, adventurer, storyteller, podcaster, YouTuber, and at one point was a professional poker player. His obsession with the human experience began with his podcast entitled On the Bus Podcast, which shares conversations and stories with outliers, people who find success outside of the norm. From there, he and his partner decided to make On the Bus more tangible by converting a school bus into a mobile studio and hitting the road to meet their guests and learn from them firsthand. Their original documentary series, Save the Dina Tour, catalogs an epic 7-month adventure traveling South America as they seek guests for their podcast and film adventure content for their YouTube channel, which can be found by searching On the Bus Podcast. Daniel is currently planning a 9-month season 2, traveling throughout India with even crazier stories and adventures planned, and recently created On the Bus Consulting to produce video content for other YouTubers. I'm here with Daniel Blum, who some of you may have heard or watched on YouTube. I've actually run across you organically about 2 months ago when I was really starting to look into starting my podcast. I was researching podcast information, and I was also wanting to potentially get my own little van and do some light travel around and interview people there. So that's how I ran across you pretty organically on YouTube and saw some of your stuff. But I know Brandon's worked with you, and how did you guys actually meet?
Oh, so We got a really fascinating meeting story, because I've had the same best friends, been running around the same hooligans since I was 2 and 3 years old. And about 6 years ago, I've always heard of Brandon. You know, when you grew up in South Florida, I was a football player, and Brandon was a well-known basketball player in the area. So you know who the other athletes are in the area. But we've always had the same best friends since we were little. We never knew each other, and we're big fans of music festivals and just being travelers and psychopaths in general. And one day we're at a music festival where all of these friends came together in Las Vegas. We'd never met before, and it's all the same group of friends. We met, and immediate friendship. We both ended up at one of the music stages, just being wild, crazy people. And from there, I was like, hey, you know, this guy's pretty cool. This guy's pretty cool. And we both sort of linked up in our fascination with sports, biohacking, and storytelling. We're always interested in discussing like rogue topics and what's going on with human beings and human experiences. And we're always trying new things. And so it's not very often in life you find someone who's interested in all the same things you are and who's as ambitious as you are too.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I grew up in Florida most of my life too, mostly in Fort Walton over in the Panhandle. Were you guys more in Central Florida?
Well, we're South Florida boys, even though I did go to Gainesville, I did go to University of Florida and spent a good portion of my time up there. He went to Syracuse for basketball, so.
Oh, okay. Did you go to college on a sports scholarship or anything?
So I played football. Actually, you're in Springfield, Illinois, so I played football at Western Illinois for 2 years on a partial scholarship. And don't get me wrong, I love the world and I love to travel, but that cold, windy Midwest vibe out in the middle of the cornfields was not my particular cup of tea. I had this like vision, I'm going to be a star athlete and everyone's going to throw flowers at you and love you and everything that you're going to do when you're 19. That's just not always how it goes. So I transferred to UF. I was actually going to be a recruited walk-on but I would have never saw the field. And so I gave that up kind of quickly.
So you guys met each other, a lot of music and other interesting background stuff that you guys found work well with you. How did you both, aside from like storytelling, decide that like podcasting was what to do?
So both of us, you know, I come from that from after football, I ended up being a professional poker player, and Brandon was playing semi-professional basketball. So I was living in different parts of the world and we were bringing our friendship back home to Florida. And, you know, right around in our mid-20s, a few years ago, both of us had tried to link up to have interesting conversations with people before, but it had never really worked out. He was living in Kuwait. I was in Costa Rica. And one day, right around the same time, both of us had this realization that most people get when they're young kids, maybe 14, 15. But we always thought, like, he always thought he was going to be Michael Jordan. And I always thought I was going to be Phil Ivey, like the greatest poker player in the world. And I always worked towards that my whole life. And I think right around my mid-20s, I finally realized that I was not going to be that person. Like I wasn't going to be. And it's not only that I wasn't going to be, it's that there's so much other things that I wanted out of life. That's a very introspective, poker's a very introspective, lonely thing at times, and I wanted more. And we came home and we put together actually this full plan. Brandon said, I want to go to South America. I want to travel and do something on the road. And I said, well, I want to do that for the rest of our lives. Let's do that as a business. But how can we do that and make a business out of it? And from there, we rehashed our old desire to sit down and talk with people. And our main goal was mostly to – like initially it was we want to have conversations with unique people who are highly successful that are doing things outside the societal norm. Like people who are similar to us, outliers, crazy people, but in unique ways. So musicians and bobsledders and comedians. And then we've talked to monks and people along those lines. And we want to find out what made them so special. So we came up with this business plan. We're going to start out with this podcast. We're going to do as many episodes. We're going to learn from people and share their stories.
Did you have any plans, or did you already have a couple friends you knew you were going to interview first as your first podcast? How did you guys get the ball just actually rolling after you had the idea and the brainstorm session?
That's such a good point. In the beginning it was, well, we've had fascinating lives and we know really fascinating people. A friend of mine was kicked the national game winning championship kick. I have another friend who was a TEDx speaker and launched one of the top apps in the App Store. And we knew professional basketball players. And so we took this list, a laundry list of great people we knew. And we're like, well, this is the first group of people we're going to talk to. Let's sit down, we'll have good conversations and find out like what made them so unique. And man, there were so many bumps and hurdles in the beginning, but it ended up opening up doors. You know, from like a business perspective, I think this is the best networking tool that I've ever done. Because what happens is, first of all, let me tell you something, audience Bobby, everyone likes to talk about themselves. Like nobody says no. So once we discovered that everyone wanted to talk about themselves and nobody says no, we started reaching out to people outside of our normal means, right? Our guests were introducing us to people who they knew that were interesting and fascinating, successful. And then we started reaching out to other people And they almost always said yes. And what happens is if they have a good interview, if they enjoy their experience, if they get good response, then those people will introduce you to someone also. Mm-hmm. So in starting out as a way to like to a way to promote somebody else to share their information, you end up bringing value to yourself. It's like that old adage in business where it's you need to provide someone value before they give you anything. When you reach out to someone via email, you need to tell them how you can help them. You're not asking for anything. That's sort of what we're doing by putting someone on our podcast without doing it on purpose. That's what we did. Hey, come on our podcast, talk. And then people end up saying, oh, by the way, I know someone I'd love to put on your show. Boom. Boom. It's fantastic the way that it works.
It's a whole new world.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've always found that meeting interesting people and just having conversations is the reward in itself.
Obviously, truly it is. Getting to hear from somebody, get to hear their worldview and their perspective and the things that they've gone through is an absolute beautiful thing, because we're each going through the human experience from our own perspective, and we each experience the world in a different way based on our environment and different variables from things that might be genetics or that happened to us in our life. And here and being able to empathize and experience through someone else's voice is a beautiful experience. And I love learning. I love education. I love sharing and hearing someone teach me or visually put me through what they've gone through is, you know, I learned so much from that. Mm.
So you guys started, made a few podcasts, had some guests and some new people. And you, kind of your training wheel session, right? When did you guys decide to like take things on the road and step things up another level?
So, I mean, here's the secret, right? The secret is, I don't know if I've ever even said this before. The secret is that we had always wanted to go on the road, right? But we didn't really know how or where or what we were going to do. That was just part of the initial plan. Here's something that happened to us though. Is one of our guests, there was always something missing from talking to people, to be honest with you. It's one thing to have a conversation with somebody, but I always felt like I wasn't truly learning. I wasn't truly experiencing. One day we had a guest come on our show, and his name was Jared Firestone, and he's a ex-Tulane track athlete turned Olympic bobsledder, and he's training for the Olympics. So he comes on, and he calls us right before. He goes, hey, do you mind if I bring my bobsled over so that you guys can try it out? And I'm thinking to myself, it's 100 degrees in South Florida in the summer with once you add in humidity. What am I going to do with a bobsled? So obviously I said yes, comes over, we record the podcast. And after the show, we go outside and he has this rickety brown bobsled with like metal sheaths underneath that are supposedly slide over concrete. And at first I was like, this is ridiculous. So Brandon grabs the sled and he runs down the street, jumps in and slides along the asphalt. And then I grab it and I run and I slide. And we ended up doing this for like 30, 45 minutes with him teaching us. And that was sort of the aha moment. It was that it's one thing to talk to people, to learn from them like that, but it's a whole nother thing to experience it with them.
Yeah, experiencing their passion.
Yeah, you're experiencing it from someone who's an expert, and you get to like have the joy on their face, but then you also get to do it yourself. And what better way to learn than doing it yourself? So after that, we were like, hey, why don't we start trying to do this with more of our guests? So we played soccer with a woman, with a Canadian national soccer team player. We learned from then we did jiu-jitsu with a world champion jiu-jitsu. She taught us five ways to defend yourself and basics. And we started doing them with our guests. And that was the, oh, this is it. This is what we want to do. So our idea from there blossomed into not just hosting the podcast, but going out and experiencing with our guest. And what we've done from there is we said, okay, let's take this. We always wanted to travel South America. So let's like do this backpacking style trip, turn our bus into a studio, and let's drive around the world and not just have conversations with people, but then learn from them right after. And that's sort of the jump off for everything.
Yeah, that brought you guys up into the video world.
Yeah, completely. The video is a whole different ball game, a different animal for sure.
Yeah, what do you find more difficult to grow, like your podcast audience or like your YouTube audience?
Oof. So I think that I've become really good at YouTube since we've begun, and YouTube is like Google. It operates exactly like Google on SEO. It takes a long time to grow a page on Google the same way it does YouTube. You have to integrate keywords properly and get the proper content into the video. And on top of that, you have to produce a quality video that's really engaging and the right, on top of being the right content and top of being sent out in the right way. I think if you do YouTube, it's going to take longer to grow, but I think that you can get access to an audience quicker because the truth is that video content does better on social media. Video content has a better chance of going viral, is a better chance of being produced the right way, and YouTube is a much better platform for the content creator side like us, whereas podcasts is just auditory. It's hard to go viral because it's all long form media. It's less likely to get clicks, and it is the podcast platform app on the back end is not very well done for data, and so it's harder. But I think at the end of the day, even though that I said the YouTube, like I think the YouTube is easier to do, like to get access to get an audience for, I think it's much harder to produce and much harder to do, and I think podcast content is really high. You're getting high quality conversations and debate from people. You're getting high quality stories being told. I mean, people are producing TV style shows, but in audio through crime syndicate shows and those kinds of things. So, man, they're both. I love them both. I love them both. To be honest with you, I do think it's easier to grow an audience on a podcast in a shorter time, unless you're a really experienced producer, and then I would say video.
Would you like to support this podcast and help motivate and inspire people in your own small way? By supporting me in this podcast through Patreon, you can help make this a possibility. With your support, I will be better able to continue to make content for the masses that so desperately need it. Go to patreon.com. That's patreon.com, and search for me, Bobby Wiley. You'll see my beautiful face looking back at you. Thank you for your support.
Yeah, and podcasts kind of lend themselves to be recorded pretty easily too. Like Joe Rogan, he just has, what, like three stationary cameras that his, I can't remember his name, but the guy that helps him out switches.
Jamie.
Yeah, Jamie. Jamie switches them out every so often. And I've seen videoed podcasts that you guys have that's just stationary camera. So you get kind of two for one.
It's definitely easier to produce a podcast, and it's easier to get your name out there. That's why I think podcasting is a better move if we're looking at the comparison between the two, unless you're an experienced videographer, unless you're experienced with SEO. Because if you can do that, if you know how to work those things, you can create – like I've gotten so good at creating like clickbaity, quote unquote, clickbaity titles that can potentially make yourself go viral. I don't really use them, but I've worked with them with clients and such. And it's, once you know it, it's easier tool. It's an easier tool to use. But podcasting is better for, you know, novice or connecting with an audience you might already have. It's much easier.
Yeah. And there's several other skills involved in like YouTube. You got to have the right thumbnails.
Yeah.
Thumbnails is a big thing.
That's hard, and it's so hard in itself.
Yeah. I think I watched one of your Save the Dina tours where you said, I think I've got the next thumbnail. And you were like covered in foam, or it was like a carnival.
That's Carnival in Montanita. I know the exact moment. Yeah. It's dark, it's late at night, we're running through these skinny little streets with people with these giant foams that they just bomb in your face at any moment, and we got blasted. And right when that happened, someone took a photo of or we had the video right on, so I'm like, at least I know I got my next thumbnail, and that's the one we ended up using.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So for that aspect of your guys' journey, how did you decide on a Kickstarter, and that would be the great way to fund the bus And how did it perform?
Well, you know, when we had this idea, it was always, what are we going to do? What are we going to do about money? We were saving up money over a decent period of time to kick off that version of it. And Tim Ferriss, to credit where Tim Ferriss, he has this episode where he of his podcast where he teaches you how he gives you information on how to do a Kickstarter. And there's a blog post with everything outlined, start to finish. Now, that makes it sound easy. It is not easy. It is a month and a half of hard work doing it the right way, reaching out to people, connecting, making sure you create the right reward system, make sure that you can follow through, setting up your social media. At the time, we weren't experienced. We didn't have social media set up. So it was a lot of navigation and a lot of negotiation. We were reaching out to Instagram. I was looking certain hashtags on Instagram. So I was looking up hashtags for schoolies, right? We're both interested in schoolies and bus life and van life, and reaching out to people and saying, hey, you know, you have a decent sized page. We have this great idea, this great concept. We don't have any money. Would you mind supporting us? And a lot of people are going to say no to that. And we fought through because we had a great message and people believed in the message and we did it the right way. And our initial goal was 12,000, I think, or 10,000. And we reached 14,000 through hard work. And it was like one of the most inspiring moments of your life. Like, you have this weird and strange, bizarre concept that doesn't really make sense to people. Hey, we're going to take this radio show talking about outliers, and we're going to take a school bus and convert it into a house so that we could travel around South America to interview people for this bizarre radio show. And people bought into it, and they believed in it because they believed a lot in us, and we offered some great rewards, which is a key. And we followed through on almost everything. And the Kickstarter, I highly recommend to people. If you have a creative project that you believe in, you're going to do a lot better if you have the ambitious nature to put in the work that it takes to reach out to people. If you have some kind of social network of any kind, of people that you can, friends and family that you can reach out to, you're going to do well. Not everyone has that. Tap into it. People, don't be scared. People will believe in you. And if you have already put out some sort of product, then people are really going to buy into it also. Like, we had already put out 30 episodes at the time. And so we'd had a proof of concept. And now what we're working on is, without going into too much detail, we're doing season 2 of our show, of our docuseries, The Save the Denator, which you were talking about. And we're going to India. Mm-hmm. And we're looking at how we're going to bring up funding. And one of the options is doing a massive Kickstarter of 150 plus thousand. But that's most likely not a route we're going to take, because we're in talks with some other production companies, distribution companies. But the reason we're able to get into talks with these distribution companies is because we have a proof of concept, because we've already went down there and did it on our own and did it with $14,000. So what's going to happen when we have $250,000?
Yeah, the resume speaks for you now.
Definitely. I am a firm believer in crowdsourcing. I think it's the future is people giving micro donations for projects they believe in. And personally, that's one of my if New Year's resolutions this year is to any content creator that I frequently use is to donate to them this year. I am making that important to me, and I'm going to stress that on all my channels, because being able to source people for their projects, people who don't have the money, people who don't have the time, people who are 23, 35, 45, who have great ideas, who have children and families to feed, this is a great way to get creative projects off the ground that can blossom into something massive that changes the planet, move away from full-time corporations and into you know, the little guy and their ideas.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people live vicariously through other people and other people doing things that they've always wanted to do. So I definitely think there's a lot of people backing that up, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, that's definitely another reason.
For your trip, both of you speak fluent Spanish, right?
Not initially. I had a girlfriend back in the day and she didn't speak English. When I moved to Costa Rica, I had a girlfriend who didn't speak English and I didn't speak Spanish. And so I sort of figured it out. So I had the, I had the baseline. I had the minimum, but then if you travel for that long through a region where they only speak a specific language, you pick it up. So by the end, I'm near fluent. It's hard to speak. Definitely. I got to tell you something funny. Brandon, well, even though that I could speak Spanish, Brandon got around better because he would just speak with his hands and like act like an idiot to let them know that he's American. He can't speak your language and you need to figure out how to communicate with him. And it worked so much better than and someone realizing after like 30 seconds of conversation, I'm good at like faking it for like the first 30 seconds. And then after that, they're like speaking to me and I'm like, oh, I don't know what's going on. Shit.
I'm lost. Donde el baño. So how much of your trip was actually trying to get over the language barrier?
I don't think that much. I think their Latin American culture is extremely passionate and friendly and warmth, and there's a lot of warmth and friendly values and family values. And so you can't speak the language. It doesn't really matter. In Colombia, they'll tell you you're the best at Spanish ever, no matter how bad you are. Oh, you're so good. Oh, qué bueno. You're so good. It's a very friendly, they're very friendly. So it's not a big deal.
They appreciate the effort.
Completely.
Okay. So for your upcoming tour, it's India.
India.
Right. And that's like, I think it's like the second largest English speaking nation in the world. So you shouldn't have any language barrier troubles over there. I don't think.
You're on to us. That's one of the reasons we're going there because...
Well, you picked India?
Yeah. The British colonies, everyone speaks English, easy to do stories.
Well, going to Ireland, it's almost like going to a foreign country.
That's what I hear.
They got some real thick accents.
Season 5 will be there. Season 5 will be in Ireland and Scotland.
So on your trip, what was some of your most memorable moments? Things that really stand out that's going to be the forefront of your mind at a party when someone asks you what was your best part?
That's a great. So every day, I'll preface this with every single day on that bus in that experience was the greatest experience of my life because every day, even at 6 p.m., we're stopping for a sunset in a Peruvian field with crisp pinks and oranges glowing over like a field of pineapples, like that kind of thing. We had some bizarre, like some crazy moments. Brandon fell off a 27-foot cliff. We went into a methane pool with our bus where we had to get pulled out in the Bolivian Altiplano. Those are stuck in my mind. But definitely the crazy experience on that bus was a four-day period between Popayan, which is in South Colombia, and we drove into the Amazon with the bus. And then so I'll give you a quick breakdown. I'll give you a quick backstory. So we drive over 5 hours of road to like the worst road I've ever been on. It's washed out. We get to the Colombian Amazon where we learn to make cocaine. We got horseback rid through the jungle to get to a narco house where they taught us how to make cocaine. We have a crazy experience doing that. The next day is the wild day. So we take the bus and we're in this town called Macoa. And our goal is to drive over a road called the Trampoline of Death, which is supposed to be one of the most dangerous roads in the world. And it is.
Sounds terrifying already.
And we have a bus, but I'll come back to that. So our goal is to drive around that road and then get into Pasto before we cross over the border. And the morning we wake up, it's about 9:30, 10 a.m. We're just leaving the town of Macoa and we hear a bang, bang, bang on the side of the bus. Look out the window and there's a guy banging on the bus telling us to stop. Well, what the hell is going on? So I jump out of the bus and I look and there's guys pointing at the side of the bus. What had happened was our gas tank got just clear chopped off somehow and there's fuel pouring out of the tank.
Oh my God.
So we're like, what the hell are we going to do? What are we going to do? So I hop on the back of a motor scooter. I travel around town with some random guy and he's going to metalworking places asking if they can fix in Spanish, I guess. come back, can't be fixed. Well, interestingly enough, there's a carpenter right across the street, and he comes over, he eyes out the gas tank, goes back to his carpentry. 20 minutes later, he comes back, takes a wood gas cap, cut perfectly, slams it in, and it works. Now, as crazy enough as it is that that worked, now it's like 12 o'clock midday, and Brandon's like, okay, we're leaving. And I go, guys, we have 6 hours with our bus on the scariest road in the world. We should wait until tomorrow because it could get dark while we're on this highway. We just lost our gas cap. We don't know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. So we go back and forth, and eventually we decide that we are going to ask a random guy, and based on how long he said the trip would be on the trampoline of death was our deciding factor. 6 hours or less, we were going to do it. 6 hours or more, we weren't. Guy comes back and he goes, it'll be 6 hours. All right, we're doing it, right? So we take the bus, and right before the trampoline of death, there is Colombian military, and they stop our bus. Now, they're everywhere, but this was a big, big group of guys. And they get on the bus, and they look at they go over our paperwork. And the guy is looking through the paperwork, looking through it, and he says, come over here. Walk over, and he goes, look at this. And it was the 27th of January, and he goes, today your paper expired the 26th. Your paperwork's expired. Oh, my God. What are we going to do? So he says, okay, we're probably going to have to confiscate your bus, and you can get it back next month in Pasto. So obviously, we're freaking the hell out. So he goes off the bus. We're talking to each other, trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to get out of this. Mm-hmm. And the guy comes back on the bus with a group of two guys, and he looks in a real serious face, and he goes, okay, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. If you make us look good in your movie, we're going to let you go. So we shoot some videos with them, get them all smiling, dolled up, and they send us on the way. They say, if somebody else pulls you over that paperwork, you never saw us. All right. So we take the bus. And this trampoline to death is pretty undescribable because, you know, it's a mountainside road. You look on your left where the wheel is, and there's 1,000-plus-foot drop off, and it's wet mm-hmm. road. And you look to your right, and normally a mountain goes up. It goes up off to the right. But this road didn't do that. This road came over the top, wet jungle just on top. So I actually rode on top of the bus, and you could touch with my hand or even my head. I could touch the wet overhang, which is how close it was. So there's no room for error. There's landslides. We saw a landslide on the road. We had to wait for 15 mm-hmm. minutes while they cleared it out, that kind of thing. And it was crazier than I could even explain to you. We make it around. There's some crazy parts of that story, but in the interest of keeping it briefer, that's sort of where we ended before we got into Pasto on our own.
And there's no rails on this road, right?
No, there's actually very many vigils. People who light candles for people for cars that fall over and people that die. So it's no serious business. It was very dangerous. Thank goodness I had a good bus driver.
Yeah, crosses on the interstate. Wow, that's crazy. I've seen some episodes of like worst roads. Or like Ice Road Truckers type series where they're doing these crazy bridges that are like wooden and they're creaking and the bus's tires are like overhanging on either side of the bridge. That sounds crazy.
There were a lot of really insane roads. Brandon and Max might have ridden on one that was even crazier than that in the middle of the night. And it gets to the point like on the trampoline to death or on one of these roads where it's one way and you're on a mountainside and there's corners everywhere. So you don't see when another car comes. So like we pull a giant bus and then a truck is in front of us and we're just deadlocked in the middle of the road. And one of you has to back up and one of you has to back up around a corner on a cliff. And that's not us. We are not backing up.
Yeah.
So like most people, they figure that they have to back up. But like every once in a while, there's another truck and you're out in the streets screaming, you back up. No, too bad. You know, you back up. No, you're yelling at each other. Someone's got to move. And it's great. I mean, it's really crazy. We've been on some crazy roads in South America. I can only imagine what India is going to be like.
Man, that's to be decided. I'm looking forward to your guys' trip and following along. And you know you're living like the life, right?
I reflect back into that time period on the bus, and that was the like that is the life. Like every day is a journey. Every day is an experience. Every day is something beautiful and epic and gut-wrenching and heartfelt and momentous and adventurous, and like every cool adjective that you can think of happens. You know, you have extreme people moments, like real human experiences with joy and pain and those kinds of things constantly, and friendship, and it's really something special. Like I wish that for everybody in their life. And if they can't do it themselves, I hope they get to experience it through us.
Yeah, that's great. And I think that's a good ending point. So let's go ahead and have you rattle off all your social, let everyone be able to follow you, your podcast, your YouTube channel, and then what you got next.
Thanks for taking me. Like, I just feel like I was just brought back into those moments. So thank you for taking me there.
Oh yeah, pleasure.
So first, thank you for having me. You can find our podcast, On the Bus Podcast, in any place. So Spotify, SoundCloud, preferably iTunes, Stitcher. And we even do YouTube videos. You can find our YouTube channel, which is On the Bus Podcast as well. That's our Save the Dina Tour, which is season 1, season 2 coming out soon. And on Twitter, we're on the bus cast, I think. And our Instagram, we use our Instagram a lot. So you'll find us On the Bus Podcast, On the Bus Productions on Instagram. And I'm trying to think if I'm missing somewhere. I'm sure that I am. But, you know, if you want to follow us in real life, we'll do Instagram stories and all that. We're social media buffs. So our goal is ultimately to impact people and show them that they can live a life of whatever they want.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. I hope that you enjoyed it and are a little bit more motivated and inspired to rise above the adversity in your life to create the change that you want. The music that you've heard on the podcast is from none other than Punch Deck. 2 words. He's able to be found on SoundCloud.com. If you would like to follow me on social media, I can be found on both Twitter and Instagram under the name Bobby_Wiley77. If you have a motivational and inspirational story that you would like to share with the world, let me know. Perhaps you could be my next guest. Thanks again, and I hope to catch you for the next installment of Live the Hustle.